So First Chronicles, chapter 29, on page 357. I'm going to read from verse 3 to verse 20. First Chronicles 29, reading from 3 to 20, please give your attention to the Word of God. Context here is David has assembled Israel. He's at the car's end of his life. He's handing things over to Solomon. He's preparing for the temple. That's what's going on here. So chapter 29, beginning at verse 3, David speaks. Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver. And because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold of the gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the house, and for all the work to be done by craftsmen, gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? Then the leaders of fathers' houses made their freewill offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. They gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in the care of Jehiel the Gershonites. And the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart I have freely offered all these things, and now I have seen your people who are present here, offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people, and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart, that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. And David said to all the assembly, Bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed their heads and paid homage to the Lord and to the king. And we'll stop our reading at that point. You may also want to look at the back of the bulletin where you see Westminster Shorter Catechism, number 102. What do we pray for in the second petition? Now, some years ago, we were having youth group. It wasn't the Jesuits. It was at the Almond's house. That used to happen. And there was a group of young people gathered, and there were two young men who would come some of the time, and they struggled usually to memorize the catechism questions. But they got this one. I remember that. They got to this one, and they learned this one in a snap. I said, that's very interesting. Why is this one clicking for these two young guys? Let's take a look at it. What do we pray for in the second petition? It says in the second petition, which is, Your kingdom come. We pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed, and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be his. I think this one clicked because you got three clear steps. We want the devil down, we want our loved ones in, and we want you back. That's what you pray for in your kingdom come. We want the devil down, we want our loved ones and ourselves in, and we want you back. It's an answer that talks about the battle to be the boss. What are we praying for when we pray your kingdom come? One thing we're saying in your kingdom come is that we are not yet satisfied. If we were perfectly satisfied, why would we need anything to come? We're saying we're not satisfied with how it is now. So, your kingdom come. That's why Jesus said, "Woe to those who are rich, you have received your consolation." So I said, it's very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. If you're satisfied now, easy to be satisfied if you're rich, then you're not looking forward to God and saying, your kingdom come. And Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so they spoke of the false prophets who were before you. Yeah, when all people speak well of you, you're satisfied. This is great. Everybody loves me. Great. But we say, your kingdom come, and we are not yet satisfied. We're poor in spirit, and we're looking to be comforted and protected and assured and safe. We're looking at the world, and it bothers us to see what happens. And we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Perhaps we're mocked or persecuted. So we're not satisfied. So we say, your kingdom come. We're not satisfied, but we're not disillusioned. We've identified an enemy, the devil. We've identified a savior, the Lord. And we know what to do. We're praying, your kingdom come. Lord, sweep away the pretenders. Jesus, reveal yourself on your throne. Turn what is wrong and make it right. Let us be delivered from Satan and from this world. And let us be unified within to have integrity. Your kingdom come in my own heart and in all the world. So your kingdom come. He's saying, come, Lord Jesus. Let judgment day come on. The thing we were reading about this morning. Bring it on so that we can here enter into the joy of your Lord. But you might say, well, how can we pray this knowing who doesn't believe yet? Well, when you say your kingdom come, you not only are praying for Jesus to return and his kingdom to reach its climax, you're also praying for the kingdom as it now exists in the world. Because Jesus is already the king in heaven. He says in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He doesn't say will be given to me. He says, has been given to me. He is already reigning in heaven. And he gave us many parables about his kingdom. And the point of the parables is the kingdom is in the world. He said the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell here and there and there. He's describing his own activity. And that's how the kingdom is in the world. So when we say your kingdom come, we don't just pray for Jesus to return and pray for the kingdom to reach its climax. We also pray for Jesus to glorify his name right now and to build up his kingdom right now and to show mercy right now. In Isaiah, it often says something like this, God will come to save and his righteousness will be revealed. And so we say, Lord, your kingdom come. Let your righteousness be revealed and extended to people right now. The kingdom of God came like a sower sowing on different kinds of soil. Lord, sow over here. We want you to sow that seed over in this area and let it find good soil. Lord, you said your kingdom is like wheat growing in a field to maturity. Then Lord, let that wheat keep growing. Keep growing to maturity. See, the kingdom is like a mustard seed growing into a great mustard plant. Well, we thank you, Lord. Your church has grown greatly, but we don't think a mustard shrub is big enough. Let it be a redwood. Let it grow greater. Your kingdom come in the here and now, the way that it is now here, and grow and be a greater redwood. You said your kingdom is like yeast working through all of the dough. Well, the United States needs some more yeast, Lord. Let it work through more thoroughly. Bring our loved ones to sell all that they have so that they may buy this pearl of great price. So that when you send your angels and they pull the dragnet through the sea and pull all the fish in, let us and our loved ones be the good fish that are kept in the baskets and not the fish that is thrown away as useless. I just worked my way through the parables of Matthew 13. The kingdom parables. The kingdom of God is like this, and the kingdom of God is like that. I just ran through them. And when you pray your kingdom come, you can pray with those parables in mind and then apply it to people and situations that are on your heart. That's part of praying your kingdom come, not just, oh yeah, your kingdom come, done with that thing. No. That's just part of an outline. Right? The Lord's Prayer is a prayer. It's also the outline for an expanded prayer. And so how do you pray the concept of your kingdom come? That's what we're talking about tonight. And these are some ideas that you read those kingdom parables. The kingdom of God is like this. And you're saying, Lord, let it be so for the people that I know. Let them be like the good soil. Let them buy the pearl of great price. And so on. So you pray your kingdom come. You're praying for the end. Come quickly that the battle be over. But you're also praying for the middle. For the kingdom to present and to flourish in the ways that it is now present. And so you could pray, your kingdom come, and you can pivot and say, may your church flourish, and may people be converted, and may it all be built up. Now, of course, it's your kingdom come. Not my kingdom come or our kingdom come, but your kingdom come. Do you ever play If I Were President? Yeah, of course, right? Exactly. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, because I do, right? And then you realize that president might not be quite satisfying enough. So then you play If I Were King, you know? All right. Done with president. All right. Yeah. Yeah, your kingdom come. We're not praying to replace Biden with ourselves. We're praying for the Lord God Almighty to come. Praying for the Father to reveal that his Son is on the throne and his Son to be recognized by all. You know what Jesus is going to do with the kingdom? It says in 1 Corinthians 15, he has to reign until he puts every enemy under his feet, and then he will deliver the kingdom over to his Father, that God may be all in all. In other words, Jesus can be trusted with power. He won't be like a son who tries to consolidate power in the nicest father. Okay? No, he can be trusted with power. And can you be trusted with power? You know, there's a very famous author who says that you can't. And his name is Tolkien. And the whole point of that ring is, yeah, you get that ring, you got power. And it will corrupt you. Guaranteed. The only thing they can do is destroy it. Now, why is Mr. Tolkien so bleak? He might be like Boromir. Like, well, why can't we use that thing? Well, Adam didn't handle power. Moses was actually mostly pretty good, but not perfect. Saul was terrible. David had good times, like what we read here. He prayed to Solomon, but Solomon couldn't handle power. And I've named some of the good guys. Can you handle power? You know, we're made in the image of God, and he goes on immediately to say, and you have dominion over the earth, rule over the fish of the sea and the animals of the land and the birds of the air, and we do. But when God said rule over them, he didn't mean and leave me behind. He meant be my image, be my reflection, rule under me, be a ruler. be a good steward. And Adam and Eve were not. He has trouble handling power. But we're supposed to faithfully reflect God and submit to God and obey God. If God walks in the garden, we're supposed to be going to Him in love. If light comes into the world, we're supposed to go to the light. And so David here shows us the proper attitude. Now David has received the kingdom. Back in chapter 17, he's been told that he will always have a descendant reign on the throne. So there is David. He's been given a kingdom. And as you keep reading through 1 Chronicles 7, after chapter 17, you get to where he defeats his enemies, and he arranges the worship, and he organizes his kingdom, and he assembles everybody together. He gets to choose and charge his successor. He's gathering all this money for the temple. And then he prays. And I hope you notice in his prayer, he basically gives the kingdom back to God. He's still the king. But he's saying, you're the king, Lord. And what am I? And what are all of us? But a passing shadow. But you are the king. We've done a great fundraiser for you. And I'm excited by how much everybody gave. And yet it was all yours anyway. For you are the great king, Almighty God. Maybe you see why Jesus is son of David. Because when David had his head on straight, it was very straight. It was very good. He got it on his good days. And this was a good day. And Jesus is the one who's always got his head on straight. And is always clear and obedient. And that is why we want the kingdom in his hands. Because he can handle it. And we should not think that we could handle it. Now, will we ever be pure enough to handle power rightly? In the book of Revelation, John sees 24 elders sitting on thrones around the throne, God's throne, and they've got crowns on. They're reigning. And when the four living creatures cry out in praise to God, what do? Well, they fall down to worship God and they cast their crowns before the throne. Which is to say that now they are the way people should be. They reign under God. They don't hold on to the crown apart from God, but they give it up to God. They've been purified and they're able to be how humans should be, reigning under our Maker. So what Adam failed to do, and David could only manage in spurts, this is what Jesus did perfectly, and what we will do in glory. We'll reign rightly under God. So how do you pray your kingdom come? Because again, there's a time to just pray right through the prayer, and then there's a time to use this and pray at more length. And say, let me pray for a while now on this idea of your kingdom come. What are we supposed to say? We're supposed to pray for Satan's kingdom to be destroyed. Pastor Martin talked about this at the presbytery meeting. We're going to be praying against the things that are evil. Praying for protection of people. Praying for evil rulers to be cast down. May the leader of North Korea be cast down. That's a terrible regime. Lord, confide it to the dustbin of history. Pray for Satan's kingdom to be destroyed. For the defeat of persecution and evil laws and lies that capture people. And we're going to pray for the present kingdom to be extended. The kingdom as it is already present, that the Catechism calls the kingdom of grace. May the church be blessed. May workers be raised up and sent out into the harvest. May millions believe. May rulers respect and aid it. Lord, extend your kingdom as it is here now. And we pray for Jesus to return in glory. Come, Lord Jesus. It's almost at the end of the Bible. For here is the boss that we can trust. And so we ask him to get the battle on, so that he would be the victor, and we would be secure. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your instruction in prayer, and that you teach us to pray, your kingdom come. And Father, we do pray that your kingdom would come, and that the rivals and the pretenders would be cast down, that you would cast them down. Lord, we pray for the defeat and destruction of every regime that seeks to obliterate your church. And so, Lord, we pray for the end of the regime in North Korea and other regimes, Lord, that set their face against you. And Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come. We pray that you would raise up your evangelists and your pastors and teachers and your missionaries and open doors for us, Lord, to speak the word to friends and to neighbors and to family and to co-workers. Lord, open our mouths and give us opportunities to speak of you and to invite others to read and to know you. Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come and that people would be converted and brought into your kingdom and kept in it by your grace. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you would return and that you would we would see you and rejoice in you and be secure with you forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.